Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, your host, and I'd like to personally thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to this podcast. Thank you also for journeying with us as we are all striving to make continual progress in living by the gentleman's code. If you would, could you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast? It means so much to us. It actually helps us in our rankings on iTunes and helping people to be able to access this information that didn't even know that we existed. We'd also like to extend a free gift to you. That is your own copy of the ebook or audiobook of The Life of a Gentleman. This is over 144 pages of information about being a gentleman. You can download your copy at harrisonblakeapparel.com. Visit the blog and simply download your free copy today. At this time, though, I'd like to welcome in studio my co-host, Charles. How's it going?
Oh, it is going great. It is great to be in the studio with you. It is great to talk about this subject. And it's just all around a perfect way that a gentleman should behave.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most important things you can do with your life is to set goals. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to kind of pull some of this information right from the book, The Life of a Gentleman, the chapter called Taking Aim. The reason why this is so important is a funny quote. It's actually sobering if you think about it. It's by Lawrence J. Peter. He says, "If you don't know where you are going, you will probably end up somewhere else."
That is a great quote. Because many people, we think we know what direction our life is going to take. And we think we know how it's going to be. But if we don't set these personal goals or achievements in order to reach them, we will have no success.
None at all. I can definitely agree with you when you're talking about that point. You know, I'll tell you a funny story that happened to me once. This was a couple summers ago, and for those that don't know, I like to camp, and I'm an avid camper, and we were out, and we're at the lake, and we're camping. We're out on a boat, and we're supposed to be fishing, You know, but we got sidetracked, taking in some refreshments and just having a good time talking to one another, and the next thing you know, we're drifting, but no one realizes it, and the next thing you know, we're stuck in a corner of the lake in a marsh, wondering, how did we get here? How did we get stuck?
Did you catch any fish?
We caught nothing. You know what we caught?
What did you caught?
A case of frustration. Because you know why?
Why is that?
We didn't set goals. We didn't really take aim. We were just out there drifting. And that's what it can be in life. Sometimes you go through the motions. You wake up the next day. You're 30 years old. You're wondering where the time went. You're not in high school anymore. It's time to set goals when you're a young person. Achieve them. But first, you have to set those goals.
Yeah, a goal is kind of like that boat. You got to have an anchor that's on the bottom. Without that anchor or without those goals to help set the concrete, then you can just find yourself drifting aimlessly.
And definitely when you do that, you're not going to have success in your life at all. Like you said, you have to focus. You have to stay, quote unquote, in the game, if you will. You know, your goals have to be clear. They have to be concise. You can't be willy-nilly about things and just going through the motions. If you want something, say you want to start a business, and you're just talking about it over and over, but you never do anything. You never put the gears in motion. What good is it? I know some people, they want to start a blog, but they haven't put pen to paper, or they haven't started typing. They're just talking about it, and you hear the same things over and over, and they never get anywhere. It's because they really didn't take the time to lay out a plan of attack to capture their goal.
Yeah, and when I think about goals also too, it kind of reminds me of sports. Now, I love sports, whether it's soccer, whether it's hockey, whether it's basketball, whether it's football. All of these things, even golf, they have something in common, that there is a goal at the end. Whether or not you have the basket for basketball, whether you have the touchdown for football, whether you have the goal in the back of the net where they yell goal, or you have that cup, or any of the sports. Now just imagine, Richard, if you take that end zone away, then where would you go? What would you have?
Yeah, what are you even doing out there? You're just running around.
You're running around in circles. And life is like that. If we don't have any goals, that something to push us ahead, to look forward to get a first down, to get a hole in one, or whatever sports analogy there is, then we're going to be walking around life with no goals and nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's so important that we need to set these goals. And there's a proven method that businesses use to achieve goals. Have you ever heard of the term SMART goals?
Yeah, we have to be smart about our goals. Let us know, what does that acronym stand for?
That stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. Let's go back and take a look at each one of those. We have to remember, before we get into this discussion, we've mentioned on previous podcasts, you are the CEO of You Incorporated. What that means is, like our friend June Archer taught us, you're a personal brand. When you walk out of your house, you're representing yourself, you're representing your family. What does that mean to people who are seeing it? First of all, the only way you're going to be a successful brand, now think about some successful brands, Charles. Just rattle off a couple successful brands real quick.
McDonald's.
Exactly. Apple Computer.
Rolex.
Coca-Cola.
Pepsi.
Do you think those companies set goals every year?
Oh, they have sales team. They have goals. Even the ones that they attain, they have more goals the next year.
Exactly. And the thing about those goals, do you think their goals look like, this year we want to sell a lot?
We want to be in business.
Exactly. No, that doesn't make any sense. So why would your personal goals be the same way? I hear people say, well, I want to make six figures. That's not a goal.
Yeah.
No, that's a dream.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not doing anything, if you're not specific, which is the first part of SMART, which means having a specific goal has a much greater chance of being achieved than just a general goal. Have something in mind. If you want to make six figures, you got to start by your work ethic and so many other things first before you can obtain that.
Yes. When you're setting those specific goals, you want to ask yourself six W questions. Who is involved? What do I want to accomplish? Where? That means you got to identify a location where this goal is going to take place. When? What's the time frame for your goal? Which? Identify the requirements needed. And why? I think why is the biggest one. You have to know your why. Why are you going after this goal?
Yeah, without your why, you will just be left with you. You are the only person that will be there by yourself. You have to know why you're doing this. What is your motivation?
Yes, there's a motivational speaker that I love. He gets me energized when I hear him. His name is Les Brown. And he says, if you know your why, then your how will not matter. You're going to find a way to reach that goal. But you have to know your why. Know your why. But the next part of the SMART goal is measurable. So you can't just say, I want to make 100 grand. You know, I want to make six figures. Well, what are the steps that's going to take to get there? You got to start having some checkpoints along the way.
Yeah, just like the sports analogy again, each thing has a, go back to football, you have yards.
Exactly.
You have first down, you have the yardage, you have the touchdown. They have a measurable goal that's in place to help you to get to your final destination.
And they know if they're having success because they're moving the ball. So they're measuring their success. They know if they're losing yardage, it's not working. Yeah. They have to try something different, a new strategy to continue, like you said, to move ahead and measure those goals. Now, what's the A stand for? Remind us.
The A stands for attainable. Now, it's not always smart to say, hey, I'm going to hit a hole in one. I'm going to hit this ball 400 yards. That's not an attainable goal. But to hit it halfway and to par it, that's a more attainable goal. So when we're talking about something that we can reach, we have to have plans that we can reach day by day, month by month, year by year, and then those goals can be attainable or within our reach.
That makes perfect sense. And then we'll go ahead and slide into the next one, which is realistic. It kind of goes hand in hand with attainable. You can't set some goals that are totally unrealistic. You have to be practical. You can set your goals high. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to be realistic, don't you?
Yes. Realistic. The key word is you have to be real. Be real with yourself. Be real with your why. Be real with when. And be real with who's going to help you obtain that goal also too. So being realistic is important.
Hey, that's a good point. I want to just piggyback on what you said. People can help you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for a mentor. There's people out there that are willing to roll up their sleeves and get in there with you and help you fight to reach your goal. You just have to find who those people are.
Yes, and I hate to keep putting in with the sports analogy, but it makes perfect sense, because even if you're the best athlete, what do you normally have? A coach.
Yes.
You have someone in your corner that's going to help coach you to become a better you.
They bring out the best in you. People say all the time, well, for instance, Michael Jordan, he never won a championship until he found
Phil Jackson.
Yeah, the same thing with Kobe Bryant. He found
Phil Jackson.
One of the most legendary coaches, but you see how it fits there. You have to have somebody to take you to the next level. Now, lastly, we'll talk about the T in SMART goals, and that stands for timely. Charles, you want to touch on that?
Yeah. Now, when we think about timely, we know that time is running out. The one thing that all of us have, that what makes us equal around the whole world, is the same amount of time. But how we use our time is what sets us apart. So if we use our time in a wise manner and set these goals and say, hey, I want to reach this by next year, or I want to reach this by next week, or I want to, like June Archer said, he was talking to a young man who wanted to eventually own a suit. He didn't have the time there, but that was a goal that he was going to set. Something that's in the future that you say it's going to be by this time and I'm going to attain it.
Yes, and what's very important is that you write these goals down on paper. Statistics show you have a higher and much greater chance of meeting your goals when you write them down on paper, look at them, and review them. In fact, let me just draw everyone's attention and the listening audience to download the book, The Life of a Gentleman. If you haven't done that, or even made a purchase of the paperback version, the thing about this book is actually a guide. And inside that book, there is a SMART goal worksheet where you actually can write down your goal. There's a spot where you write your target date and a spot where you write your date achieved. And also there's some strategies in the book as well that you can actually write it down on paper, look at it, and reach those goals.
Yes, this book is very interactive, meaning it's going to help us achieve the status that we want to achieve within life on this journey, and that is becoming a gentleman. Like we say all the time, this is a journey that we're taking together. So as you look at some of these SMART goals, please see what are some of your potential obstacles. What are some of your solutions? Who can help you reach those goals? Be specific, and then put a target date and an action step in place.
Sounds good. I think after this discussion, all of us are pumped up, motivated, and ready to go after our goals.
Yeah, so just to reiterate a little bit, we have to be SMART when we come to our goals. And that acronym stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time. And we know all of our listeners are smart.
Definitely. We look forward to learning more about you and hearing how you're achieving your goals. If you'd like to even be featured on the podcast, drop us a line, podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com, and we'd be happy to talk with you and maybe have you come on and tell others how you're achieving your goals. But until then, let's get ready to get into our interview segment. Sound good?
Let's go.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Once again, we are joined this week by a very special guest. And this week, in fact, is even more special than normal because we have on Lydia Evans, who is the founder and creator of Soaps, Wash, and Grooming. She has many different products that she's going to tell us about. One I'm familiar with is the Soap, Wash, and Grooming Facial Bar. And I'm happy to say that this product will be included in the August monthly subscription box for Harrison Blake Apparel. But before we get into anything else, let me welcome to the show Lydia Evans. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much, Richard. I appreciate it.
Oh, we are just so glad that you're joining us this afternoon, and Charles is here with me.
Yes, it's good to be on the show, and it's good to have you there with us today, Lydia. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you so much, Charles.
Now, Lydia, I noticed on your website that Forbes magazine said your product is one of the coolest gifts for travelers. Can you tell us about the products?
Oh, absolutely. So the product is called the Swag Bar, and that is actually spelled SW&G. And for those that don't know what the ampersand is, because I actually didn't know what that was until after the fact, but that's that funny looking number 8. It was like a number 8, but it's the and sign. It's the SWNG bar, but people call it the Swag Bar because the company is Soaps, Washes, and Grooming, so the guys started calling it the Swag Bar. And what that is it's a patent-pending technology that I developed as a licensed esthetician to cleanse, exfoliate, and disinfect the surface of the skin in one use. So it is a very multifunctional, simplistic product, and I think that's the part that a lot of people like about it because it's kind of oxymoronic. It's a soap bar, but it's so much more than a soap bar. So that's what the Swag Bar is, a 3-in-1 cleanser.
So how did you come up with this product, or why did you feel the need for this product?
Okay, well, I came up with this product because my brother, who is a barber, actually has customers reflective of himself. And they were dealing with issues like folliculitis, which is a fancy way of saying ingrown hair, pseudoculitis. And razor burn, acne, just uneven skin tone, the texture. A lot of people have a ice pick scarring. And ice pick scarring in my field is a fancy way of, well, it's actually not even fancy, it sounds kind of bad. Saying like divots in the skin, and there's a few celebrities out there that have skin like that. Lawrence Fishburne has ice pick scarring, because when I mention it, people are like, what is that?
Yes.
Give them someone to reference. And so, like, Lawrence Fishburne has ice pick scarring, and it looks like indentions in his skin. Benicio del Toro has ice pick scarring, and that is from acne that has gone untreated for many, many years, that has, the skin has basically collapsed, and so it leaves an almost like a rough texture to the skin. So the Swag Bar, the loofah inside that, along with the ingredients, exfoliate the skin. So it has more than one purpose. It has a multitude of purposes. Works on hives, eczema. You can use it as a shampoo bar. When you're in the shower, you can actually shampoo your scalp with it. It works on folliculitis on the back of the neck that guys often get from the clippers, the irritation from the clippers at the nape of the neck. It works on athlete's foot. It works on a lot of things.
Wow, now that is a lot of uses for the bar. And we know personally, we have used it, that definitely does work. So it's good. Now, can you tell us a little bit more? You had touched on a little bit of what is your background, or how did you even get into making a product or coming up with a product like this?
I get that question a lot, and I'm an esthetician. So an esthetician is a licensed skincare therapist. So it's almost like you think of a doctor, you think of a nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You think dermatologist, an esthetician is right under a dermatologist. So that's the levels of basically what I do. So careers for me will be something like working anywhere where there is skincare treatment, laser hair removal. I am certified to do laser hair removal. I do everything. I mean, you think of it, I'm trained to do that. So I have been creating my ladies line, which is called La Bella Dolce, for many, many years, 7 years actually, before the swag bar took off. So I think that my fine tuning that God did to me, a lot of that came from my ladies line. It's a way more competitive market per se, because every single corner you turn has some form of a ladies line, and it was not to any flaw of my products. I have a great, great brand, but I had absolutely no marketing budget. I was operating on a shoestring budget. And from my profits, there was just no room to do advertising to make people aware of what it was I could bring to the market. So as far as product development, I've been doing that for many years. And when I created the swag bar for my brother, I created that, and it was just like a one-shot hit. I thought about what folliculitis was. I thought about the pH of a gentleman's skin, all of those different things. And I just kind of, in my head, put together some ideas of what could be multifunctional. And I ordered the ingredients in a week. I put it together, put it in some sandwich bags, and gave it to my brother. I never in a million years thought it would do what it did. Not even in a million years. I knew that I would be successful. So let me say that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think this product would surpass everything else.
It's funny how that works sometimes, isn't it? How you just kind of stumbled into something. But let me tell you, for those that are listening, she stumbled into something that is totally awesome. I mean, this product works so good. I use it every day to shave with, and I really want to stress that you have to give this a try. Could you tell us a little bit about the ingredients? Is this an all-natural product?
It is absolutely an all-natural product, because my market, my primary market, is people with sensitivities and skin conditions, such as, like we were talking about, psoriasis, eczema, dermatitis, seborrheic dermatitis, which is a fancy way of saying dandruff.
Okay.
All different skin fungus. So when I created the product, I created it, I knew that some antibacterial agents had to be put into the product, but I still kept it on the natural side. Because, like myself, who is a lifelong eczema sufferer since I was a young lady, young kid actually, anything will break me out. You look at me wrong, I'm going to break out. I knew that I needed to develop something that would not irritate the skin, so it's paraben-free, so there's absolutely no sulfate, phthalates in the product. It is artificial preservative-free. There's absolutely no dyes in it to make it fancy. It's a very raw-looking product. It's funny-looking, actually, when people see it, because it's just like, this is a raw product. But it is,
right.
Yeah, and we'll appreciate it.
Yeah, and once you use it, though, you look at the product and it doesn't seem effective, but like you said, once you use it, you're like, wow, and it only has to be natural. As Richard said, this is an excellent product, and it was so good that you decided to even take it on Shark Tank. Now, tell us, how did that come about?
I would say divine intervention, really. they always say that the blessing comes right there when you're at your bottom, it feels like, you know, and I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit, because I'm a free spirit by nature. Now, let me just to give you a kind of a feeling of who I am.
Okay.
I am very much a glamour girl. I love all the glam. Love the hair, the makeup, the lashes, all that kind of stuff. But my heart and my core is very science, math, chemistry.
Okay.
So people think it's funny because I call myself Orglamic, because I love the girly side of things. I don't like to steer too far away from God's creations, because I feel like everything we need is on this earth. And I went through the whole issues of skin irritations and things of that all my life. So when I developed this product and I gave it to my brother, I actually, for myself, I had tested, of course, on myself, but I don't get folliculitis. So that wasn't necessarily something I was testing for. I was just testing to make sure it didn't irritate my skin before I gave it to my brother, because I'm so sensitive. If it didn't irritate me, I was like, it's not going to irritate anybody. What happened was, over a period of time, I started noticing that I was spending less time on orders for my other products, like my little fruit products, like sugar scrubs and oils. And I was getting more orders for this soap through my brother. And then my accountant came to me and he was like, Lydia, do you realize you sold $54,000 in just this one product?
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, wow. And he was like, yeah. He was like, you got a moneymaker here. Again, it went right over my head. My father is in love with the product. He loves that Swag Bar. And my father said to me many moons ago, he was like, sweetheart, this is going to be your moneymaker. This is going to take the rest of your product off. I said, I can't see it, Dad. And he says, it will. So one day, I'm sitting up looking at the TV, Shark Tank comes on, and tears start rolling down my face because I'm like on the other end, like hoping and wishing and cheering for this entrepreneur that's pouring their heart out. And I was hooked. The first time I saw the show, I was absolutely hooked from that point of seeing people go out there, present themselves, and hopefully get a deal. Because, of course, you know me, I was rooting for everybody. And that first episode I saw, I sat there and I looked and I said, oh my God, I've got to get on this show. And my mom said, oh no, you're getting on that show. Go over there, go online and see how you can get on the show. I submitted an application, put in my information the first season, didn't hear anything back. So I am going through my entrepreneurial path, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm still working. I was working at a medical spa and I was kind of burned out on it. Because I work so much better for myself. And I got burned out on it, and I said, you know, I don't want to work for anybody anymore. I called a dear friend of mine, and I told her, sweetheart, you know, I'm putting my 2 weeks notice. I can't do this anymore. She says, okay, well, Lydia, I understand. And I was making guap at that job.
That means a lot right there. That means a lot for some of our listeners who don't know. That means a lot. So continue on, sir.
Call that mucho de Niro. So neither here nor there, as time went on, you know, my 2 weeks was coming up, and, you know, I started getting antsy because I hadn't, you know, I had done that medical spa thing for about a good 7 months, but for out of 9 years, sweetheart, I've been straight entrepreneur. Yeah. Minus those 7 months of working at a medical spa where I chose to use my license. So all I know is entrepreneurship, but I'm a self-motivated entrepreneur. No one's ever had to motivate me. I'm very self-motivated. Mm-hmm. But I saw there was I was making a ton of money for these people, and the more I would make, the more it's almost like they changed the rules up just to apply to me. The yes. commission rates, everything. Mm-hmm. And so then that's when I really started to get burned out, but I also knew then I have a calling. I just don't know what it is. Something's going to take off. Well, my girlfriend, like the literally 2 days after I left that job, I, you know, it was kind of depressed because I was feeling like, okay, God, I can't get my ladies line off the ground because I don't have the budget for it. You know, people still calling me for this swag bar, but I'm ripping and running all over the city of Houston to deliver it. Come on, give me something here. So my dear friend calls me and says, Lydia, did you know that Shark Tank will be in Austin for South by Southwest? And I was like, oh, I've already applied. And she was like, yeah, when? I said, well, you know, like first season. She was like, that was 6 years ago.
Oh, okay. Oh wow.
Right, but nobody ever got back to me. And she was like, but you didn't cast. That no one can see you in action and see your passion for your product and turn you down, Lydia. There's no way. You need to get in front of the people. When you get in front of them and they see your passion and they see the love and the transparency in your eyes that you have for this product, I think you have a potential to get on Shark Tank. I was like, yeah, right. I'm not spending any of my little money on that. I'm not taking a trip down to Austin because it's about 3 hours from Houston. I'm not doing all that. I got to save my money, man. I just quit my job. Come on. And so she was like, you so much, I'll pay for it.
Wow.
So she paid. Yeah, she got the hotel, took me down there, and I gave what I guess you would call a pitch. And that was that. The rest was history.
That's an amazing story. And that's a true friend that you have there, too. I initially found out about you because I saw the Shark Tank episode and I was at home rooting for you. So could you, and I'm a fan of the show and I think Charles is also.
Yes.
Could you tell us something, maybe a fun fact or something that would surprise us about the Shark Tank process or being on the show?
something I think a lot of people are in awe about is the fact that they review 40,000 businesses.
Oh, wow.
And the 40,000, that's, of course, videos and in-person casting. And of the 40,000, they pick 138.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
People, I think, are amazed by. And then even though you do that, it's not a promise that you're going to air. You can go out there and tape, but it's not a promise that you're going to air. And even only a few of 138 will air. And so there's nothing but grace and favor on my life that I actually aired.
Now, here's a question. With such a great product and your bubbly personality, your orglamic, as you described yourself, your product, we know that you got a deal, right?
No. I did not receive a deal. I think across the board, the Sharks felt like I was too new. They felt like my baby, and he was, my baby was in the infant phase. I hadn't developed and even got out the house. I didn't even have a U-Haul office, like a fake law office. I wasn't a co-op office.
Right.
I was doing this from my second bedroom apartment. And what they saw was, I asked for $125,000 for 20% equity. What they saw was, oh, sweetheart, you're going to gobble all that up. Just get out your house.
Okay.
And I didn't see it. Because what I know is how I'm able to turn molehill into a mountain. So I didn't see that way. I looked at it like, no, just give me your money and trust me, I'm going to flip it. I'm like a little dolphin. I flipped it. they didn't get that. But what they did was, I watched a million of those episodes. What they did was they encouraged me, and they were really, really, really amazingly nice to me, every single one of them. And even Mr. Wonderful didn't tear me up. And that was a big deal because I came out and I knew my numbers. Yeah, I could be small, but I knew my numbers.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to skincare, very few can compete with me when it comes to skincare product development. As far as where I'm at as an esthetician, most estheticians don't know. They know how to do a treatment because they're trained on how to do a facial. But they don't know the ins and outs of skincare products and the ingredients in them and what's real, what's fake. And I knew I had a knack for it from a chemistry side. So I think my competitive edge was that. And something that was brought to my attention is you see these brands and they'll put a face to their brand. But very few brands is that the person who developed it is also the face of the brand. So, and the creator of the brand. Very, very rarely do you see that. So they'll have this product developed in a lab, and then they'll find this well-known person and put them as the face of the brand, but you never know who's developing the product. And most of the time, it comes out of a big lab. It has no history behind it. It's just they know the market needs the product, they put their little chemist to work, and they put out samples, and that's it. Whereas with me, this is a very homegrown thing. This is a very personal thing. It's something that affects not just my brother, but other men that look like him and don't look like him. My dynamic and my demographic changed after Shark Tank, whereas when I first started, my market was primarily African-American barbershops. Now, that's not my primary demographic. My demographic is anybody who has a bug. That's my demographic now. So any man that has any kind of shaving concerns, shaving needs, anything, because it's like, you know, you have normal skin, great, good for you, but you still need a grooming product, and it's an excellent product. So we kind of surpassed the barriers. I broke a lot of barriers with this product because it's kind of like, it's neutral. It's very neutral.
Yeah, sure. And you know what? We appreciate that story that you just told, because a lot of our listeners, they might have a home-based business or some ideas that they're trying to get off the ground. And I think that you could inspire them with your story. We're just wondering, where are you now? Bring us up to date. How is the business doing now?
Oh, the business is doing fabulous, and thank you so much for asking about my boy. Really, he's my boy. He's my big baby. Business is doing absolutely fabulous. As of now, I'm still the sole owner of the business. No investors thus far, although I have a Bible-thick catalog of people who have emailed me saying they want to be investors. I have developed a brand partnerships with Cedric the Entertainer. After he had tried the product out and fell in love with it, he had his team to reach out to me. And so brand partnerships is a really big deal for me right now because I get a lot of press. But then also, it's important for me to make sure that I collaborate with people and kind of allow other people to be blessed from this opportunity that I realize is like literally a once in a billion lifetime.
Yes.
So where I'm at now is I'm just in a really, really, really good place. I mean, seriously, I still have my team. I have departments now where I was a one-woman show. I have my production manager, my warehouse manager, my customer care manager, all those different things. I work a lot more, but it's a lot more organized, whereas I'm not doing every single thing. So, I mean, it's been an amazing journey, and I think that we're in a really good place. We're financially solid, and we're growing every single day. We're working on some things with QVC, which is exciting for me.
Oh, wow.
I wanted Lori when I went on there because I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is great. Definitely what you said, you definitely have to have a great team to be beside you and to back you and to help you out. But just one more question for me. What advice would you give for young entrepreneurs who may have a product or they may have something that they feel just as passionate about as you have? Is there any advice that you would give?
If it keeps you up at night, if it feels like burning in your belly, if it feels like no matter what someone says about it, you still go back to it. If you've heard 1,000 no's, but you feel like you're gonna get a yes at some point, that's your calling. There are certain things are things you're good at, but certain things are your calling, and your calling speaks to you. Your calling speaks back to you. It's not something you can let go of very easily. So if you're of the type of person that picks up something, you get bored easy, you put down that, you pick up something else, that's just ADHD. But if there's something, of all the things you pick up that you cannot let go of, and no matter what, you go back to it. It could be culinary cooking. It could be designing and art. It could be fashion. It could be legal representation.
Yes.
It could be whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's something that no matter what, you keep going back to. That is your calling, and you have to follow that. Because I'm a firm believer that if you don't follow the word that is given to you, that's put inside of you, that burns you with passion, if you don't follow that, your whole life will be out of order. And you won't quite understand why nothing works out in your life. Relationships, both, you know, personal and, you know, your Eros love relationships. You won't understand why business deals don't work. You won't understand why familyships don't work. Because you're out of alignment of your calling. And every time I would steer away and felt like I wanted to give up, something would pull me right back to my passion. Every single time. Whenever I would get tired of, oh my God, I'm barely making it, I'm tired of eating noodles and cheese.
Yes.
And I want to go and do something that's going to make me some money and a whole lot of it, which is easy for me to do.
Yeah.
I would get so bored or it wouldn't go good, or a relationship would fall apart. It would just be something where I would get rattled and shaken up to get my attention and get me refocused, because this really is my purpose. So if I could share that with any young entrepreneur, because I think sometimes we do get that ADHD where it's like, okay, this ain't working, come up with something. But that's that get rich quick mindset. And let me tell you, there is no get rich quick. So oftentimes you may see someone on TV. You may see a singer that comes out of nowhere. In your mind, they came out of nowhere. But in 10 years, when they do a story on them, they'll tell you, you remember the little girl in the Jell-O commercial?
Yeah.
That was me when I was 10 years old. And you're like, wow. To me, you popped out of nowhere. So there's a lot of people that's like, well, Lydia, what are you going to do with all this overnight success? Honey, ain't nothing overnight at all. Yeah. At all. You know, so that's my suggestion, is to stay consistent and take the notes. Take them. That doesn't mean you have to receive them, but take them. Take them, take the constructive criticism, apply it to your brand, and keep it pushing.
Man, that is some great advice. We really appreciate that. And you know, Lydia, we appreciate you just coming on the show today and talking to us about your awesome product and also encouraging the listeners. We appreciate this.
Yes, absolutely. And please, if the listeners need any help or any advice or whatever have you, don't hesitate to reach out to me or my team. Now, I'm not going to say I can answer every single email at this point in my life personally, but I can see to it that you get an answer. If that makes any sense, as far as I'll see to it that you get a response to your question or your concern, for sure. There won't be a question about that.
Okay.
you know, but I travel a lot now. I move around a lot now, do a lot of speaking engagements and things of that sort now. But I still try to be a vessel because I know that God gave me this platform for a reason.
Yeah, we can hear the passion in your voice, and we love it. Could you please, before we say goodbye, could you tell the audience where we could maybe find you on social media or your website so that we can go out and purchase the product and support the brand?
Absolutely. You can visit www.pure and then the dash symbol swag.com, or you can just type in www.swagessentials.com. I have to tell you about why I have two different domains later.
Okay.
And or you can visit me at Swag Essentials on Facebook, all one word, Swag Essentials on Facebook. You can also follow me on my Lydia Evans page. That's LYDIAEVANS. And I'm on Facebook there as well if you want to get in contact with me a little bit more personally. And then also on Twitter, and it's swag_essentials.
All right, thanks. Now, everyone, please support, and you have to try this product. Once again, Lydia, thank you for coming on The Life of a Gentleman. We truly appreciate it. We appreciate your time, and best wishes to you in the future.
Oh, thank you. Same to you guys. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for having me.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we have a special guest for the segment we call The Gentleman's Look. We'd like to bring on Mr. Barnett Holston. He is a social influencer from Washington, D.C. He actually is on Instagram. You can follow him as well. He is on Instagram as DC Fashion Fool. He also has a blog with the same title and another blog that's entitled Men's Life DC. Barnett, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, definitely. We're glad you could join us. We were following you on Instagram, and of course we saw some of the amazing photos that you captured at New York Fashion Week. And we thought it'd be fun if you came on and talked about that for the audience, because there's a lot of people that probably would love to attend but haven't had that opportunity. So could you tell us about the experience, or maybe how long you've been going?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I started a couple years ago. I was at work. I wasn't really busy, and I was doing some writing, and I was doing both men's and women's kind of writing about fashion, writing about brands and things like that, and it wasn't busy in the office, so I said, hey, let's go to Fashion Week. So I think I went to, maybe about 3 years ago, I went to Women's Fashion Week in February, and let me just tell you, that's kind of an experience. First of all, it's cold, which you would never know from the way from the way that people are dressing, because, you know, it's all about that street style. And as it's changed, and as it's split, and when men split from New York last year, that's when I decided just to kind of focus on men, because that's my passion, and I like to, you know, I look at men's style, and that's what I do. So, you know, it's been, you know, both feet in ever since, and it's just been, and New York has been really, really exciting. It's kind of interesting what's going on this time.
So with Fashion Week, what are you looking for when you go, or what can, if our audience ever have a chance to be able to get down there, what type of experience is there?
I think the experience, it's kind of twofold. Well, it's more than that, I guess. It's one, it's to see what's coming up for the next summer, the next fall, whatever they're showing. So that's one. The other is a chance to kind of talk to the brands and kind of talk to the people behind the scenes, so you can kind of get their take on their inspirations. And then just to kind of network and to see what people are wearing now. Because, you know, you always have in your mind what you see in the magazines and what you think that looks good, but you kind of want to see how people are doing what they're doing, you know, kind of get a feel, because I like to get inspiration from everything.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Now, how long is the event? Is it a full week, actually by namesake, or?
No, that's not true.
I didn't think it was.
It's like it's about four days. We started on Monday, and well, the official is it's 4 days. It starts on Monday. It starts with New York Men's Day, which got started originally around Women's Fashion Week because there wasn't really a showcase for just kind of men's fashion. So one of the PR firms kind of put together a New York Men's Day, and that's kind of the official start now for Men's Fashion Week. And what they used to do is they would bring together maybe 10 to 14 design different brands, and they would show them in two slots, and then that's when you got a chance to see it. And now it's turned into a full, you know, 4 day week with shows the entire time. It's amazing.
Now, how do you get invited? Can anyone be invited, or can anyone attend, or how does that work?
Well, I think, you know, nowadays, I think it's a little easier for people that are in the fashion industry. That's primarily what the focus was. And for me, because I write about fashion, that's how I got credentialed to go ahead and say, because I also do some freelance writing, and I would, you know, represent different publications and things like that to cover some of the shows. So you can get credentialed, but even if you get credentialed, you have to be invited by generally the different designers that are showing. So I went through some of it. Once you get credentialed, they see your name on a list and they go ahead and invite you. But for some of the other shows, you have to specifically request, and they either let you in or they don't. And a lot of times they don't respond sometimes, but you can't let that discourage you. You just have to keep at it.
So potentially you could be in New York just walking around trying to get in?
Well, I don't think it's that easy. I think that as you know, social media has become a big, big part of it. A lot of the brands sometimes have done special incentives to maybe the general public that say, hey, you can enter to win and go to a show, and they've done things like that. I believe at Women's, one of the designers, maybe it was Givenchy, I don't remember who it was exactly, but they actually had a raffle to give away tickets to go in, and it was kind of like a free-for-all to go. So I think there is some opportunity, but it's not as easy as that.
Okay. Now, when you go there, what are you excited about, or what do you get excited about seeing?
There are certain brands that I certain brands and designers that I really look for. I'm a studio kind of look kind of guy, so I tend to like those brands that kind of show off that stuff. Like this year, some of the good stuff was, you know, if you looked at David Hart, who did a combination that was called Hart by Hart, which was Hart, Schaefer, and Marks, and they had a really, really, really cool suit of look collection. It was casual, nice bright colors, and you have to remember it's for spring of next year, so it looked really good. Suit Supply is always another one of my favorites. They have a great, you know, they have a great collection to look at, things like that. And I love what's going on with the suited world. So I think those are the types of things that I look for. And then I look at how people on the streets are kind of styling the suits that they have on, because you can get a lot of inspiration from that.
Oh, I bet. When you see the pictures, you kind of bump into so many different people, and actually a lot of big names in the fashion world. Did you, you don't have to name drop, but did you bump into anyone by chance?
Yeah, I ran into a couple of them, and it's always kind of cool because, you know, we all follow the big names on Instagram and on social media, and then to kind of meet them in person, it's pretty surreal. So I think I may have a couple pictures of some of them up on my Instagram.
Now, have you ever done any designing yourself?
Aside from, you know, a pair of shoes that I may have ordered online.
Because I say that because you look so fashionable. I love your Instagram, and you look so fashionable. And we want to thank you for supporting the Harrison Blake brand also, too. We know that you have been a big supporter of that. So when it comes to the Fashion Week, you were talking about that what we see now is going to be for next year. So what are some of the trends that we're going to be looking forward to for next year?
One of the things, again, the things that I looked at is the suited look, but it's interesting that how you can turn it and make it look casual. So, you know, you see suits, you know, pattern on pattern, you know, nice bold prints. You see different types of colors. There was I was lusting after a suit by Perry Ellis. It was in this really cool green that you know, a lot of people might not wear, but, you know, if you style it white, it would look really, really incredible. You kind of look at what the fits are like, and, you know, it's good to see that everything is, like, tight, because I'm not a, you know, like, real thin model that can wear stuff like that. So it's nice to be able to get clothes that are comfortable, and that's always something to look for. And then kind of look at things that are, you know, a lot of the casual looks, you know, I tend to stick to, I would say it's maybe slightly less than business casual type and my personal casual style. So that's those are the types of things that I look at. One of the cool things this year was I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday, when Zachary Prell put up his presentation, you could actually buy some of the pieces on Gilt, which was kind of interesting. So you could actually get some of the stuff now. And I think there's going to be a lot of trend to kind of see stuff sooner, and if you think about it, it makes sense, because when these shows go up, you know, if you're not there, you can actually pretty much stream it or see it on social media online. And if we can see it, just think that a lot of the fast fashion brands are seeing it too, and they can whip that stuff out pretty quickly. So, you know, it's out there.
Oh yeah, that's a great innovative idea that they just implemented. But if you could give us some final tips for those that might want to attend Fashion Week. How they should prepare for it, what they can expect, maybe just a few last tips before we close out.
One is do your homework. Make sure when you're reaching out to the brands and the designers, let them know that you're interested in what is it about you that will want to include you in their show. That's one thing. And, you know, it's the biggest thing that I would say is to put on a very to be professional. One of the things that's really annoying during the shows is there are a lot of people that are in there that are clearly there just to kind of, you know, it's a show, I'm at a presentation, and they are, you know, snapping selfies with the models, they are talking to the models are there, they're supposed to be working, they're supposed to be showcasing the clothes. And a lot of times when I'm there, I'm, you know, I want to see the looks, I want to be able to get a good picture of it so I can go back and describe it to my readers and things so they know what to see and what to look for. And it's really hard if you don't have that professional air. So, you know, the designers appreciate that. I mean, sure, they like, you know, like the little attention and things like that, but it's really all about, you know, letting people know what's coming up, what's new, what's fresh, and what you should look out for. And if you go in with that attitude and be persistent, then it'll work out for you.
Man, those are some amazing tips. I think that's really going to help. And we also want to thank you for coming on and just giving us a lot of insight into the Fashion Week experience. I hope you enjoyed your time on The Life of a Gentleman.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't mind, we'd like to invite you back to come on maybe and talk about some of the fashion trends and the style that's going on in the D.C. area.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That'd be great. Thanks, guys.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus 4 additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.